Welcome back to the Ride and Laugh podcast. If you love mountain biking, you are in the right place. Picture your last group ride. You just finished. You're back at the parking lot. The stoke's high. You're talking bikes, trails, nutrition, tech. Everyone's stoked. You're stoked. You love bikes. We love bikes. Let's drop in. Sage, how are you?
Dude, I am doing so great. I had an awesome ride today on the single speed, and it's just what I needed, man. Sometimes you just need to get a little time on two wheels, and it was just great. How about you? How about you doing?
I am well. I am well. I have to get used to you asking me how I am. I'm good. I worked all day. And then I calmed down as a screaming kid, and now this is, I can safely say this is the highlight of my day. And listener, I hope that this is one of the highlights of your day also, because we're talking mountain bikes and that's always awesome. Yes. So you had a little single speed ride today. I guess there's not too many options in the stable right now, but tell us about your single speed.
Yeah. You know what? I tell you what, man, it was awesome. I met with a gentleman, Dan. I double Danned. I hope you're not jealous. I double Danned. I have another Dan in my life.
Dan and Zan. I mean, it's getting crazy up in here. You need to get some more syllables in your life.
I tell you what, if I meet a Stan, it's all over. But yeah, so Dan owns a shop. He just opened up a shop at Blue Mountain. It's like 5 minutes outside of Blue Mountain. Yeah. Really cool shop, Speakeasy Bikes. And he invited me up for a ride at a place called West End Regional Park, or Warp, like as in warp speed.
That sounds cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was the perfect place for a single speed. It's not very climby. It's not very technical, but it was perfect, ideal for a single speed ride. And we just had a blast, man. He's a really good dude. That shop has a ton of potential. I mean, he literally just opened it, and I'm thinking like rentals. You know, I'm thinking like he's that close to Blue Mountain. You know, get some rentals, and you know, people that need service. You know,
yeah,
just go right there. It'd be perfect. So yeah, I got.
Lord
got
knows that hopes. Bike park. That bike park certainly creates service needs.
Yes, it does.
Anyone who's ridden as a Blue Mountain bike park in Palmerton, and we're grateful for it because it's the closest one to us. It's only, it's not even really 90 minutes, but it's just built on this shale rock combination it just eats up tires and bikes. It is just, it's pretty intense. So I would think service would be a key there. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to have. And I bet there's a lot. Is there a lot of other good riding around there? Did Dan say, is there a lot of other trails around there? Trail systems? Do you have any idea?
His main place is Glen Park, which you and I, that's where we met Evan and Sean. Yeah. So actually he does a lot of racing up there. I think he does some building too. He is very talented. I mean, he places, like he races in places, but yeah, I think that area is ripe for some good mountain biking. Yeah, it's ready.
Yeah.
It's ready.
That's cool. And Glen Park is awesome. That's one of, if you're not from the area, that's like one of like the kind of really popular local enduro spots. There's a couple of easier ways up, and then there's a lot of really cool lines down, a lot of jump lines, a lot of fasts. It's a cool place. If you're into technical climbing, it's not your spot, but if you're into enduro downhills, you could play there all day. Yeah. All right. Well, as always, we want to get into our listener comments and gratitude to the listener. So everyone, thank you for listening, and thank you for rating and subscribing, and thank you for commenting. The podcast that we are going to be talking about as our previous podcast is number 12, Recover or Else, How to Come Back Stronger on Your Mountain Bike Through Recovery. And then I also kind of rolled in one of Sage's Ride and Laugh hot takes on how to avoid the dreaded dead legs, because that was taken right from the recovery podcast. And some really, really good comments as always. Alex said riding consecutive days with the resting heart rate high is straight to dead legs. So he's kind of using your, you know, not the HRV that I use, but just looking at his resting heart rate and seeing that start to elevate, and then knowing that, okay, if I keep doing this, I'm going to get dead legs. And that was kind of your method. Is that you're looking at that heart rate. And then as far as on the hot take video, how to avoid the dreaded dead legs, I thought this was pretty clever. Harold Atkins wrote, easy, buy an e-bike.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. And you know what? An e-bike, we didn't talk about it because we don't have them. But an e-bike, I would think, would be a great tool for recovery rides.
Oh, right? Yeah. Heck yes. Yeah, for sure.
You could go out and take it easy, but still like get your downhills in. And I mean, or just still be outside. I think that's definitely a check mark for e-bikes. I know they're polarizing, but I think that would be a big win for anyone that has an e-bike is just like, hey, I want to take it easy today. I'm going to take the e-bike out. I like that idea.
I mean, you just mentioned Glen Park. That place would be perfect for an e-bike. Like, please. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Rohan Gale had some really nice things to say about how awesome the podcast is. Thank you, Rohan. And I guess he's been inspired by the single speed talk because he says he's going to pick up a Kona unit tomorrow and get a proper single speed action and don't tell his wife. So hopefully she's not listening or we just ruined it for him. Keep your wives away from the podcast. Come on, guys, you know better right now, or your husbands.
Or your husbands.
Whoever's not into riding, if they're not into riding, keep them out of the, because we're going to be spending your money. You're going to be buying. Yeah. Anyone that hangs out with Dan and Sage knows you're buying more bikes. We will convince you that you need more bikes, better bikes, more gear, better gear. Because we love bikes and we can't help it. We get enthusiastic. You don't have a single speed, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, that bike is so much fun. You got to get an aggressive hardtail. The only one who is immune to our superpower of convincing people to buy new bikes is Tom Dedorichuk.
Yeah. Unbelievable. We're going to get him. He's going to get a new bike. Yeah. Yeah.
We convinced him to buy a single speed after he was riding an old Gary Fisher, which for those of you that don't know, Gary Fisher is one of the older full suspension mountain bike brands. Gary Fisher is like a legendary dude, mountain bike dude.
Yeah.
But they called these bikes Gary Fissures because they broke all the time. And Tom would ride his bike at Mount Penn and he would break that frame like every other ride. And they must have had like a zillion in stock, probably with his name on them. And they would just send him a new one. and then we were all single speeding. This is, back in the early 2000s or whatever, 2009, 2010. And we finally convinced him to get a single speed. And he's still on it. We can't get him onto a full suspension bike. And the dude rides Mount Penn and he's retired and he's strong. So it's working for him. We've already talked about this old bike before, but it's still amazing.
Yeah, it is. He's such a good dude.
Tom's awesome. And then we had the Ride and Laugh hot take, tools to recover faster and ride stronger on your mountain bike. So this was talking about the foam roller and the TENS machine. And a few people were like, hey, thanks for the tip. And I just have to say, I'm using the TENS machine. I got a soft tissue injury Saturday on our last ride. We rode on Saturday because Sunday was supposed to rain. And I was demonstrating the pedal kick. Anyone that's seen the most recent episode on the five skills, I was demonstrating the pedal kick and I was not in the right gear. And it was on a high consequence feature. Sage got it right away. He's in the single speed, always in the right gear. I was in the wrong gear the first time I approached it, and I didn't get any lift, so I just fell off of this ledge, and the handlebar like punched me in the back of the hamstring, and it caused a really deep bruise. You know, when you get hit hard by a small space, it was the very edge of the end of the handlebar.
Yeah.
And then I rode on it for like 2 hours, and I felt it right away afterwards. So. Kind of, it put me into a recovery week. I guess when you asked me how I was doing, I could have said I'm taking a full week off. We talked about this in the recovery episode, and I couldn't be a hypocrite. I was saying after I broke my jaw, I came back and I never took a break, and I just work to get back up to speed. And then I had that fall on Saturday, which was dumb, and then we did that ride at Brandywine, and I just couldn't get going. So I wasn't getting to the dead legs, but I was like, you know what? And then I got this injury. The universe is telling me to back up, take it easy, and that's what I'm doing. So I'm listening to the signs that I'm getting. I'm listening to my body. And I'm actually taking a full 6 days off. I won't want to say a full week because I'll probably ride this weekend. But and it's been really hard. I've been doing some fasting, but it's been very hard. So speaking of the Brandywine ride, we rode this place called Brandywine, which is in Delaware. And it's a good mix of tech and cross country. And it's got a couple new features popping up, some jumps and that sort of thing. And so our buddy Stick gave us a tour and we wanted to get some shots for that podcast. And we did that.
Yeah.
But you were on your single speed and we were on our geared full suspension bikes, man. And you were absolutely just crushing on this thing, not just on the uphills where you have to, but you're really comfortable on the hardtail and the downhills. I mean, it's very impressive. I got to say, you're so smooth.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. After like the first two rides, you kind of build a comfort. I think you had mentioned this once before. You kind of, your muscles get a familiarity. Oh, I'm going to stay away from that word because I can't say it. But there's muscle memory. And so once you get those first two or three rides, like you just kind of remember like, oh, yeah, you know, and then you stop reaching for the shifter for more gears, you know, and you just like, OK, this is what it is. And I felt really good at Brandywine and actually today, too, when I was at Warp. I'm coming back into it, which is really nice. But you know what, though, even though you got hurt, You were riding pretty good too. I mean, because I had you sessioning a bunch of stuff for the pod, and you were killing it, man. For being hurt, you were absolutely killing it.
Oh, thank you. For this, as far as sessioning, and you know, I my skills were still there. I just wasn't feeling peppy. You know, you and Stick were pulling away from me on the climbs, and I started to get that feeling of like I'm kind of ready for the ride to be over. Before I really wanted it to be over, you know, like, but I just wasn't, you know, I think we just have to listen to our, you know, we have to listen to our intuition. And I've been riding long enough to know that when I'm starting to suffer that early into the ride, that probably means I need a little bit of a break. And my HRV has been going up. Everything's been improving and getting some good sleep this week. So that's been good. We did meet on that ride, you know, it started to rain. So the ride was cut short and the rocks there, as soon as it rains, get really slick.
Forget it.
But we met, I thought it was a really cool experience. And we met two really cool people, is Tracy and Ross.
Yeah.
And Ross broke his finger at Mountain Creek and was just there. Tracy was riding, wanted to look at these features called Slab City, these really cool, like just slab features that kind of link together at Brandywine. Yeah. And so she was a little scared to get going on Slab City. And then Sage showed her and then she started to go and she missed the line. She hesitated. She hesitated enough where she almost really lost it. And then she like recovered. It was one of the great saves of the century. I mean,
it really
we were
was.
All, I think we were all just, I mean, I was so scared for her. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to watch this happening. It was so bad. And then like, bam, she's back on the pedals and riding it out. And it was like, yes. Oh my God. That was so great.
Yeah.
She thought about going up and doing it again. And then she just listened to her gut and was like, you know what? I'm just going to take this as a win and come back later. She's got the skills. I mean, you could tell the save was way harder than the regular line.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was insane. Yeah. That was, I had literally drawn a line on one of the rocks because the entry in is actually kind of tricky.
Yes.
And
I drawn
a line. Yeah. And she was actually heading toward it. Like she was actually on the line and then at the last moment shifted in the worst possible spot. I think the three of
us. She tried to bail. I think she tried to bail.
She tried to bail and you could hear a collective gasp from all three of us. We're like, ah! And then we're all like, yeah.
Yes, yes. And afterwards we coined the term, or I coined the term, stare the scare. She was staring where she was scared, and that's exactly where she went. Thank God she was able to recover. But I said, "Stay of the scare," and we all kind of started laughing and saying that's got to be a thing. So I'm putting it out there in the ether, and you could put the ride abides right next to it. You know, you could put it in quotes, ride abides.
Hey man, we're making t-shirts. Stay of the scare.
Ride and laugh. Don't be scared. Don't stare at what you're scared at. Look where you want to go. You'll go on the bike and in life. All right. Today we are going to be talking about mountain bike technology that has been most impactful for us, and certainly open to listener feedback on this one and see what we missed. But I am going to start with what I think, I don't want to say a percentage, but I everybody in the mountain bike world is aware of, and most people use Strava. Yeah. And it's very, very polarizing. It's got pros and cons. What are your initial thoughts on Strava?
Man, I love Strava. You're pro Strava. Absolutely. I am pro, 100% pro Strava, but I think that there's a lot of different use cases, you know, and that's where you get the polarizing views on Strava. Yeah. Because it really, who you are as a person comes out in that app, you know, and so that's where you get those polarizing views. You know, you and I, we look at it as a social thing. Yeah. You know, I track my training on Strava, but for the most part, you and I just love following people that we love to follow because they put down great rides, but we also use it to like find new places. And it's a social thing. So
let's talk about the pros. Let's talk about the pros. Yeah. For us, and for me, and I think I can speak for you, the number one pro is community.
Yeah.
We've met so many people on the trails or in parking lots where maybe you meet them once or on a group ride with someone that you just met and you just, are you on Strava? Yes, I'm so-and-so on Strava. And then you follow them and then you're connected. I mean, there's people on there that we've literally ridden with once and now we're like Strava friends. You know, I mean, and there's people that I've never ridden with at all. I mean, that happens also. I try to only connect with people that I've actually met because my feed's getting too long to, I want to give everyone kudos.
Yeah.
You know, and the feed gets too long if there's too many people that I don't know. So if you're following me and I didn't follow back, I apologize. But that said, we've met so many people where it's just like, are you on Strava? And then we connect with them and then you end up doing a ride with them or they show you a place that, you know, so sometimes you see someone riding someplace and like, hey, you know, I'd love to check that place out sometime. We've given people tours that way. So I think it's cool. And then the encouragement, the comments of like, that looks awesome. Great job. Yeah. If you're on Trainer Road, having someone, you know, hop on Strava afterwards and be like, yo, that I know that workout, that's hard. Or that looked really hard or good job, you know? And I mean, that's part of what I love about mountain biking. So,
yeah, I would add, and this is going to be different for you because, you know, it's something that we talked about in the last pod, but you have your own apps to track your fitness and stuff like that. But I actually use Strava to track my fitness. Yeah. You know, it gives you an effort for each run and ride. So you get like a effort score. And I think that's using the heart rate monitor. Cause I noticed when I don't use the heart rate monitor, I don't get an effort score. But it's been a great tool for me to monitor my effort. And I can actually go back several years and kind of see where I was. It's kind of depressing, but I can see where I was, you know, 2 years ago and where I am now. And it helps me to know when I have to take a recovery week. It helps me. I track my fasting on Strava, which is weird. Yeah, that's why it almost seems. I know that I probably guarantee that a lot of people think it's a humble brag, but it's not a humble brag for me. I actually type in when I do a run or a ride fasted because that's actually how I track it. So when I type in the search, when I type in fast or fasted, I can tell how many times I've fasted, you know, within a month or a year. And then, you know, okay, maybe I fasted too much. I got to back it off because you don't want to do too many multi-day fasts in a month, you know? So I try and keep it to like one or two. And that's why I put it in the title of the rides or runs.
Yeah. I like how you say a humble brag. I would say it's just a brag. I don't think there's anything humble about it. I know people think this is me being humble, but really it's just bragging. I would like to set this record straight. I did that. You thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
No food, 48 hours. Kind of a big deal around here. Guess who did do it fasted? This guy. So if you write fasted, does that mean 24 or 48? Like that has a certain code.
I'll write it in there. Oh. But I don't need to. I just, when I write fasted, that means it's going to be a 48. So whether that was the first day or second day, I just need to know when I fasted. You know, I don't need to know if it was the first day or second day. So it's just a marker for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and is that part of the premium? I don't know what I've been a premium member just to support the app because I use it. That's I do that. Like if I feel strongly, same thing with like All Trails, the hiking app, you know, like sometimes I'll be a member. Yeah. If I feel like I'm just using it a lot, I'll just be like, you know, there's the free stuff and the membership stuff, and the membership stuff isn't necessarily like worth it, but I want to support the app. I did that with Trail Forks before they started to actually charge. So yeah. I don't know what you get with the membership for Strava. Do you have any idea?
The only one that I know you don't get is the heat maps, and they've changed that quite a bit. Actually, the heat maps are very different. You might lose the flybys, which I don't use.
No, but nobody uses that anymore. You have to like click a box to be qualified for that. It was a privacy thing, which I think it was a shame because I met people that way too. Like when I used to do those early morning rides at Wes, I would pass the same person a lot of times twice. And then I would just check the flyby, and then I would be like, hey, good ride this morning. It was good running into you. Yes. And you make a friend that way. But again, I'm all about making friends in the community aspect of it. So
yeah.
The heat maps is something I wanted to talk about because that's a really cool feature that with Trail Forks, we use less, but there was a time like pre-Trail Forks, and some things aren't there for Trail Forks, but guess what is always there is the heat maps. Nobody's taking heat maps off. So, right, some trails kind of disappear when they're maybe unsanctioned, and so they're on Trail Forks, and then they're off Trail Forks. We've seen this happen.
Yeah. At,
some places that we really like to ride. But I could still go onto heat maps and kind of figure out. It's not as good as Trail Forks. And we'll talk about Trail Forks a little bit here. But the heat maps is pretty cool. And there was a time when we used that to create the majority of our routes. And so the heat map shows. Why don't you explain what the heat map shows and then how the segments work in there? Do you remember?
Yeah, the heat maps basically show you how many people have ridden a trail by the color of how it appears. So if a trail isn't ridden that much on the heat map, it'll come up blue. And the more that a person or people ride a trail, it starts to turn a brighter color of red. So it goes from blue, purple to red. So if it's a red trail, it's probably legal and you see a lot of people riding it. I think the controversial part, I guess we're not doing cons yet. Should I leave out the controversy of the heat maps?
Well, we can move into cons. I mean, what else is so with heat maps, you can create routes in Strava. And so you can use the heat maps to see what trails people are riding. Then if you click on segments, then the different segments will pop up. If you're not familiar with Strava, there are segments that you could ride. So if the beginning of the trail to a mile in could be a segment. And typically you can get a feel for if that's uphill or downhill by looking at the times. So if you're putting together a route and you click on the segments, you start getting names of trails because a lot of times a segment is just the name of the trail. So you might know the name of the trail, or you start getting a feel for which trails are popular, how do you connect this with this? And so it's a handy tool if you're going someplace new, or if you've ridden someplace a ton and you always pass this like one trail off to the side, you pull up the Strava heat maps and you can see where it goes.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not on Trail Forks.
On that segment part too, like I've looked at like the heat map and also looked at the segments, and sometimes I'll just see, well, I really wanted to try this segment. You click on the segment and it shows you everyone that's ridden that segment. You can kind of see you can click on that person and it'll show their ride. And you're like, oh, that's a really nice route.
That's right. So you can, yes. That we used to do that all the time.
Really handy. Yeah. Yeah. It's really handy.
Oh, so I haven't done that in a while, but yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just
another. You see the segment that they rode, and then through that, you can click on their whole ride and be like, oh, and then sometimes you can just take that whole ride.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a ride, you'd be like, I'll just do this ride. You know, this is some, and then you can see if it's a local guy, if he's riding there or she's riding there, you know, four or five times a month, then they probably have a local route. That's probably going to be one of the better routes. So that looks like the miles and elevation I want to do. And so you can just take that route and you could upload it to your bike computer, which is, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then we didn't talk about segments as far as being just a motivational thing for people that want to go out and speed's important and say, that was my fastest time on that segment. I mean, that happens to me a lot when I'm riding someplace and I feel like I'm going really fast or I feel like I'm going really smooth. I'm thinking I might be setting a PR here. And that's motivating. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I build the worst segments. I make like segments that only I care about, because on my hit rides, you know, I'm doing stuff that normal people probably just don't do. So I just create a segment for myself. It's a loop. And then I name it, you know, something like something, something hit, you know, it's a way for me to track myself, you know, and how am I doing that day? If I felt like I was strong and I go back and I look at it and like, oh, actually wasn't that great, you know? So yeah, you know what, that's one of the things that you get with premium. When you're a premium member, you can make segments. And I think if you're not a premium, you can't do that. So that's a huge drawback if you are using the segment creator. Yeah.
And we've started riding places. I know I've started riding places where there was very few segments, and I just populate that thing. You know, I started riding Pennypack because I realized I could ride there right from work.
Yeah.
And so I don't really ride there anymore, but for a while I was riding there once or twice a week, and there wasn't that many segments. So I create all the segments, and if you ride Pennypack, my fingerprints are all over those segments, and the segment names are ridiculous because I created them. So they're mostly like they're mostly like really dumb movie quotes and, you know, just things that I like and thought were funny. Yeah. I know there's one at Wyss where it's one direction, it's Shirley, you can't be serious. And then the other direction is, it is, I am serious, and stop calling me Shirley.
yes.
Which is from Airplane. Classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah. And, yeah.
We were top 10 in that segment for a while, but I always got a kick when someone did it both directions, because then they got both names.
That's right. So. That's right. That was the intent.
Yeah. Yeah. Shirley, you can't be serious. All right. So heat maps into segments, and I think that transitions nicely into some of the kind of notorious cons of Strava, and certainly our personal cons. What are the drawbacks of Strava, and why do people give it a hard time sometimes?
Yeah, you know, the heat maps in particular, I think, get a lot of people in trouble, because it shows everything. You know, it does not discern whether something's illegal or not. It just shows you it's been ridden. And so if you go and you just strictly use the heat map to create a route, then you could be riding illegal routes. And the same can be said about segments. You know, if you make a segment, there's no way to tell if a segment's legal or illegal. And so you run into a lot of issues with land managers, trail advocates. You know, and sometimes it's nobody's fault. Like, it's not, if it's not labeled, you know, and there's a segment, you can't really fault somebody. Now, if there's a sign that says no bikes, well then, yeah, you're at fault. I mean, you are taking a risk.
I didn't think this is where you were going to go with this. This is not something I'm concerned about. I don't know, because I use Trail Fork so much. I don't know how many people are creating rides based on the heat map. I think it's kind of a small number of people that are creating routes based on the heat map. I do think that if there's a savvy land manager that wants to see whether or not illegal trails are being ridden, that's where I thought you were going, that the heat map is a way for them to know. But then they would really need to be paying attention to Strava. That'd be like a full-time job of busting mountain bikers. Like, all right, what do you do for a living? Like, I just bust mountain bikers. I have a full-time job of just being a pain in the ass to mountain bikers. horses I'm fine with, but bikes? Mm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I feel like most people get upset at Strava because of the competitiveness and because of people trying to get top 10s or comms on these lines, and they start to make shortcuts in the trail. That's what you see all the time.
Strava lines.
And trail builders hate that. Yeah, they call it a Strava line, Strava holes, you know, people that are just looking for every second to shave off because they want to get a comm on what essentially is just like a digital scoreboard. You know, it's... And how accurate are those times anyway? You know, like one computer might say one thing, another computer, you know, depending on how the GPS works and versus the phone, you know, like it's not necessarily the most accurate thing. But regardless, getting a comm is really cool. Getting a top 10 is really cool. It feels really good. But you got to ride the trail the way it's meant to be. You're no shortcuts, no blasting through a corner or skipping a feature.
You know, I think there's two other things too, right? So you have, and I used to love getting PRs and comms too. I still love getting PRs and comms. Who am I kidding? It does. It feels great.
It just doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, listen.
Because we already own most of the comms in the area. I mean, anyone that rides with us knows. We're obviously, you know, kings of the mountain. We always say, like, if there was a comm for riding this trail in 3 feet of snow on a fat bike in the middle of December, like, we're the guys. We're comming this thing right now, and nobody knows it.
Yeah.
There's some fast riders out there for sure. It's humbling when you look at the list of
But I think the issue becomes people get so enwrapped in it. You go to I'll use the Wissahickon, which is one of the local spots around us, and the reason why comm hunting at the Wiss is dangerous is because the Wiss is an open multi-use trail.
Multi-use.
And so, you have horses, you have hikers and runners, and then you have mountain bikers that are like, I got to get a comm. And what happens is it leads to irresponsible riding. And gosh, do I sound like a parent right now? It's just like, that's not the place to go for a comm, you know, because it's scary. It's scary when you get up, run up.
Unless it's 5:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Well, you got to be smart about it is what I'm saying. And you can't let the comm get into the way of etiquette, you know, and it sucks. It sucks. I've been there where, you know, I'm feeling really good. I'm like, oh man, I'm doing really great on this climb, or I'm doing really great on this downhill.
Yeah.
And you're just feeling it. And you're like, oh, this is going to be a comm.
This is the one. Yeah,
this is the one. This is the one.
It's
happening. Then you see a hiker. And then you see a hiker and you just got to be like, yo, okay. Today was not the day. And I don't know that everyone has that self-control. And so maybe that's one of the issues. The other issue that I think happens with the comms and the PRs is you'll find a lot of people that go out and just do a short ride to get the comm or PR. Yeah. And again, I don't care. It doesn't bother me because that's not what I use Strava for. But there are people that go out. They are people that go out to just get a segment comm or whatever. And you'll see it because their ride will be like 2 miles, you know, and you're like,
they're just comm hunting. And to me, that's not what mountain biking's about. You know, like I guess, to each their own. I mean, if that's what gets you motivated, if that's what gets you excited. And I mean, it is cool. It is cool to get one. I guess we just always do these bigger rides, and anytime that we do get a comm or a top 10, it's always just kind of in the context of the ride. We're not necessarily going to, you know, maybe there's a segment where, like, within this ride, if I really open it up here, I think I can get a top 10. You know, I was a 12 last time and I left a little meat on the bone, but there's certain people that are going to go out and say, this is what I'm doing today. I'm riding this. I'm riding 2 miles today and I'm going all out. That also puts you in that dangerous position though, of not wanting to slow down if there's a dog on the trail or something, you know, like
dogs. It's just trail. Holy moly.
Yeah. That's a whole different pod, right? So you get the Strava lines, you get people being overly competitive. You know, just like anything online, you could have, and I don't really see this too often, but you could have negative feedback in the comments, you know, but, I think Strava, like it's mountain bikers I know Strava is also road riders and joggers and, you know, but our Strava is mountain bikers and I don't really see too much negativity. You don't see that, do you?
No, but that was a thing. I remember back in the day.
Yeah, it was,
especially at places like the Wiss where you were getting a lot of illegal trail building. And consequently, you'd have the segments being built because people want to create a segment to see how they're doing on a trail. And there would be a lot of pushback. I remember that back in the Pimba days. So, you know, I don't get involved in the negativity. You know, I don't use Strava in that way, you know, and I am extremely competitive and I will go for PRs and comms, but I don't get to that place where you're just like, oh, I gotta get, you know, it's like, no, if I get it, I get it. Great. You know, but I'm not going to, maybe it's my age.
What do you think? What do you think, listener? RideAndLaugh1@gmail.com or in the comments? How do you use Strava? What do you think of Strava? How do you use it? Are you, do you agree with these pros and cons? Do you have other pros, other cons? And are you, you know, are you stoked to get a comm or a top 10? Do you pay attention to those sorts of things? The other things that I would say are cons are kind of more nebulous. I would say, like, you know, some people don't want to use Strava. I think they just don't, they're on their mountain bikes, they're out in the woods. They just don't want to be tracked. They just don't want to be online. They just don't, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this is a wind down thing and I just don't want to be connected. And I totally get that. There's certainly a segment of us that are, you know, that have every app going and power meter and heart rate and the bike computer and maybe listen to music. And then there's other people that, you know, just are just on their bikes and just want to be left alone and ride. So I understand those people that are like, you know, kind of anti to Strava. And then this is just my own pet peeve, is that you can mark an activity as private. So if you want to track how many steps you walked when you mowed the lawn, that's fine. But that does not need to be on the public feed for all of us to see your lawn mowing. It's, you know, just mowing the lawn, especially, you know, I guess if you want to show that you played a sport, you know, to everyone, but it's mountain bike. To me, it's mountain bike Strava. It's road bike. It's training. It's jogging.
I have a different take on that. And my take is, it's not the user's responsibility. It should be Strava's responsibility. And here's what I'm going to say. If you want
to alert, this is not interesting to your friends. Please remove this.
No, but as
the algorithm is bored.
Yeah.
The algorithm is sensing boredom.
I think that you should be able to control what you see in your feed. And so you should, as a user, you should be able to post whatever you want. You know, if you feel like you mowed the lawn and that was an accomplishment that you want to put on Strava because of whatever, and you want
on
people to see it,
on a rider mower?
That's your, on a riding mower.
That's worse than an e-bike ride.
I was about to say, yeah, you got the push mower and the riding mower. Yeah, controversy now. Yeah, of course. But no, I think that Strava should develop something where you can also control your feed. Like, I only want to see runs. I only want to see rides. I don't want to see – like, you should be able to check off activities that you don't want to see. So if you didn't want to see walks, if you didn't want to see – kayaking, or if you didn't want to see skiing, like, you could turn off these things and then your feed would be, I particularly have this problem because my feed is exorbitantly long. It's actually so long that I can actually get to the bottom and it won't refresh. Like, I can't actually see the whole day. Yeah. That's how many people.
Right.
And I sometimes do feel like that.
He's kind of a big deal.
No. I didn't mean it to. No. I don't want it to sound like a humble brag there. What I'm trying to say is,
kind of a big deal around here.
There are a lot of activities that I wish weren't there. And here's a really good example. I see a lot of people put their warm up and cool down. And
as separate activities. I'm all
about, right. As separate activities. And I'm all about giving kudos. Like, I love giving kudos. But I don't want to give kudos for the warm down and cool down. I just want to give kudos to the actual activity. So if there was a way to, like, you know, in my control center, in my settings, to set, like, listen, I don't want to see cool down. I don't want to see warm up. Just show me the, you know, you see that in racing too. Like, people that do the crits, you know, they'll include, because they don't want to include the warm up and cool down in the crit, but they want to track the fact that they did a warm down and cool down because it's miles in elevation. So I get that. I get that you want to track that. I just think for me, I wish I could control what I see in my feed. I think that would be more handy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And I get stuck in no man's land also. I put my walks on there and it's always the same 15 or 16 people that kudos. I kudos walks, you know, but not everyone does. And so, I do two walks a day. Like, I do a walk at work and then a walk around the neighborhood with my kids. And who really wants to see that? So, you know, I mean, we all have our judgments on whether, you know, what we should be putting on. But I do, and I'll track the lawn because I do want to see how many steps. It's an activity. I mow the lawn, but then I just make it private. And I make my weightlifting private. just because I just don't think that it's all that interesting to people. I see other people doing their weightlifting, and it doesn't bother me, but it doesn't feel like something that should be on everyone's public feed to me. But that, you know, it's just personal. I like giving people kudos also, and I like encouraging people. I love the comments. I love telling people that ride looked awesome, or wow, that's huge, or now you can always put pictures on there, but now you can put videos on there, and sometimes there's really cool stuff. So
yeah,
I think overall I love it. I think Strava's awesome. I think it's a community of people that want to be active and move and fit, whether you're doing a 4.5 mile ride or a 100 mile ride. Like, we're all getting out there, and
dude, you know what, cool. Danny, I have it, just to piggyback off what you just said, I've had a couple people come up to me and say, I never was into running, but seeing that you're running and enjoying it, I started running. And that's because of Strava, you know, and like, dude, if you look at it that way, if you look at Strava as an encouraging tool, it's so awesome, man. It's all about the stoke. Yeah, we're always saying that. It's all about the stoke and giving kudos and making comments. I love that. I love reading comments. Yeah. I love getting kudos. I love giving kudos, you know, and that's another whole controversy. You know, if some people are really sensitive. We know a couple people that are like, I just don't give kudos. Like, or I only give kudos when I see a top 10 or whatever. And listen, that's your prerogative, and that's fine.
Everyone's got their own rules
for everything.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own rules. For me, my only rule is if you did it, I'm a kudos it, because I'm happy that you got out. And it's a way for me to acknowledge I see you. I see you, and I'm really stoked for you, you know, whatever that is.
And we see people on the mountain. You see people on the mountain, and then you can go into their, you know, you can go into the ride, just into their ride, and just be like, great seeing you today. That was awesome today. You know, when we saw Tracy at Brandywine, I was like, I'm finding that ride. I found her ride, and I was like, yo, awesome save. And you totally got that line next time. Like, you're ready for that. And she wrote back, and you know, I was just like, this is cool. Like, this is mountain biking's all about, is making friends and riding together and encouraging each other. And that's what we use Strava for. We like Strava because of the comments. And the community aspect of it. So, well, I was going to get into, I have like 4 or 5 other mountain bike technologies to get into. And I had a feeling that this would happen, that we would end up having a really long Strava conversation, because it's really interesting. It's really polarizing. And there's a lot of pros and cons. There's people that, you know, disappear from Strava. They're like, oh, no, I'm not on it anymore. And we're always like, why? You know, so really interested. Listener, let us know. Do you use Strava? RideAndLaugh1@gmail.com. Comment in the YouTube. What are your thoughts on this? Pros and cons. Or what did we get wrong here? What do you disagree with? Or what do you agree with? And have you made friends through Strava? Do you have people on Strava that you're only friends with through Strava that you've never met? Have you gotten rides because of Strava? I know we've seen so many places that we want to go.
Yeah.
Because of Strava, and then reached out to people and either asked a question or just asked for a tour. I love it.
I know. Cool. I love it too, man. I wish that I could follow, as you said, I got a, because of the channel, I get a lot of people, and I wish I could follow everybody, but I can't get through my feed right now. And so, but I just love that, you know, I do love that, that people can reach me if they need to reach me. And I love getting the comments, and I will write back. I just think that's important. You know, so if I didn't follow you, comments, I apologize.
And Sage does prefer comments on Trail Sage or on the Ride and Laugh podcast, because that helps the algorithm. Strava comments don't help the algorithm. Public service announcement. An unhumble brag. He's got 2 channels.
Hey,
Trail Sage, Ride and Laugh. So leave us a comment. That helps.
Trail Sage running. Come on now.
Oh, Trail Sage running. Yeah, this is a mountain bike podcast. So.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I thought I told you not to talk about that channel on this channel.
What about that conversation? Trail Sage riding mower channel. Come on, man.
It depends. Is it a push mower or is it, it's a riding mower? I'm out. No,
I'm out. I'm out.
I don't watch any riding mowing content. I only watch push mower content. The strict rule I have, you gotta earn your turns. in the lawn. Yeah. That's all the lawnmower humor I have. I'm out.
That's it. We're spent. Yep.
Well, we're going to do another episode on these other really, really cool mountain bike technologies. Do you want me to go over them or should we just save them for the next?
No, because I think you should go over them because I don't know that we have it. You know, I'd like to see if other people had more tech pieces they'd like to include. So yeah, definitely go over that.
All right. Well, number one is Strava as far as, what are we calling it? We have to label it mountain bike, most impactful mountain bike technology.
Okay.
Okay. So this isn't like talking about something that like not a component on your bike, but like apps, websites, and that sort of thing. Though it gets a little bit nebulous, and you'll see why. So I have number one, and not in any order. Though I do think number one is Strava. Number two is Trailforks,
which
is probably my personal favorite, and that might be its own pod also. Strava is very, very, Strava just has so many pros and cons and has so many people that feel so strongly about it. And then I have the bike computer. The reason I have the bike computer is because you can upload the rides. That's really what I wanted out of that. And that's been a real game changer for me. I have mountain bike YouTube. So just being able to learn new trails, see new trails, and then the skills aspect of it, like mountain bike YouTube's a huge part of my life. And it's something that's made mountain biking a lot more fun for me. And then along with mountain bike YouTube comes the action camera. And the action cameras have gotten so good that we're able to not only watch our own rides back, but be able to see all these other creators creating all this awesome content. And then as a bonus, I have the trainers, which we've talked about before, to get stronger. Yeah. And the apps that go along with them, Zwift, Trainer Road, Sufferfest, those sorts of things. And then you added as a last one, and which we can debate on which belong in here, is the Shockwiz. So that's a rather expensive piece of tech, but that's something that's a piece of tech that will help you dial in your suspension. If you're not real good at that, you can just kind of like plug this thing into your bike. It's a little more complicated than that, but you can essentially plug this thing into your bike and it'll start giving you feedback on how to dial in your suspension so that you can have it really close to perfect. So there's a lot of different ones to discuss there, probably several different pods, but I thought we were going to do them all today. We did one.
Yeah. I mean, aside the Shockwiz, all these are linked. You know, all of these are linked in some way. Yeah. And you said upload your rides, but the bike computer is also really handy for downloading a ride. In fact, when we go to a new place, you are the king at building routes. And, you know, it sucks for you because you're constantly having to look down at your computer and the rest of us
That's what I mean, upload.
Oh, I thought you meant like record your ride and upload it to Strava. You mean the reverse?
Oh yeah, I guess that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so maybe that's a little bit confusing. But that what I meant was that you can put your route onto your screen, on your bike computer, and then follow that route. And that's been a real game changer for me.
Yes. Okay. I was taking it the other way. I was doing the reverse of that because I remember when we first started riding, Strava wasn't a thing, and it wasn't a thing because bike computers really didn't exist, not like they do today. You know, you could get a bike computer to see what you were doing. I remember having to attach that little speed thing to your wheel. Do you remember that with the magnets?
Oh my God, the magnet.
Oh, they were terrible. There was terrible. Yes. You would lose the magnet or they would move, but basically it would track your speed. So this magnet would get attached to your spoke. And then there was another magnet on your fork. And every time the magnet would go past the magnet on your fork, it would record your speed. And, That was your bike computer back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it.
I think all they really showed was speed and average speed.
Yeah.
I don't think it really showed anything else. Maybe you had a super antiquated heart rate monitor, but I don't even think maybe the high end ones, they were all called Cat Eye. For some reason, I always remember the brand Cat Eye.
Yes. There was a Cadence one too, Danny. There was a Cadence one. It worked the same way. You had a magnet on your frame on the chainstay and then a magnet on your crank. And then you could do Cadence as well.
These are all electric now. The Cadence is definitely electric now. And the speed is GPS.
Yes.
But, and I remember getting like the first, when Garmin first got into the game, I mean, this is before there was navigation systems in all cars.
Yeah.
And people, including myself, would buy these little portable navs for your car. And mm-hmm. it would kind of very rudimentary. This is like your familiarity word. It would very archaically show you around town and get you from point to point. And then Garmin came out with the bike unit. Yeah. And my business partner got me one I had a surprise 30th birthday party. And my business partner, who was a road cyclist, got me one of these things. And I was just like blown away, so excited, best gift ever. And I'm like, this thing's going to show me where to ride. Like we can unlock new trails. And it didn't do any of that. it was really just like a fancier version of what was already out.
Yeah.
And what it could do was it could leave breadcrumbs. So it would leave digital breadcrumbs. And so you could get back. You could get back to where you were if you were lost, and you couldn't just go back. You know, like if you made a couple turns, most of the time you could find your way back. But it wasn't until much, much later that you could actually get a route and upload it and then follow that route. And even that took a really long time to refine. You know, I mean, when we start talking about TrailForks, we'll start talking about the what was the IMBA MTB project?
MTB project.
International. Yeah. So right around when TrailForks was becoming popular, there was another one that was through the IMBA, International Mountain Bike Association, called the MTB project. And they were, for a while, that was more popular on the East Coast than TrailForks. Like TrailForks was barely, their stuff was barely populated out here, but that's all changed. But we're getting into the next pod. I mean,
okay. Well, listen. Just to go back to your original list, I got two more, and tell me if this is a component or if it belongs on the list. What about wheel sensors? And I'm going to go back to power meters. I mean, I don't know. If you're going to throw heart rate monitor in there, why not wheel sensors and power meters? Or is that not
A? I'm going to start with B. Nobody uses a power meter on their mountain bike but you, and you don't even like yours, so that's out.
Okay, all right, fine.
What about slick tires? Nobody uses them. We're not going to talk about them, Sage, okay? We've talked about this already.
And your point A?
Point A on the speed sensor? Yeah, it's not that impactful. I mean, it's nice. I don't know. It improves the accuracy of these other ones. So
that's what I'm saying.
We could talk about it. We have them on each. It's like a $20 or $30 addition, you know? So, I mean, it's pretty cheap. We have them on each of our bikes, and it usually makes us pretty close in our, not lately. I don't know what happened lately. I've been less distance. Anyone that's following us both on Strava, you know, thank you very much. And he's not riding a mile more than me every ride. I don't know what happened. My speed sensor got decalibrated. I think what you're seeing though, like with this list though, with Strava, TrailForks, the computer, YouTube, action cameras, and then maybe you're talking trainers and Shockwaves, but a lot of those things are about getting out in the trail and uploading or downloading your ride, having the ride on the bike computer, being able to travel and see new places. So, and that's such a big part of mountain biking, is that mountain bike travel and that feeling of hitting new trails or hitting a trail for the second or third time that, you know, you just haven't been to that much, but you love it. And you're like, oh, we got to get back to that place, and being able to have routes on there. And they're all user generated. Everything on TrailForks and Strava, it's all user generated. So I think that's a big part of mountain biking, mountain bike travel. And we'll certainly talk about that more, because mountain bike travel is awesome. Anyone that's been on a mountain bike road trip knows how much fun it is to just kind of be dedicated to riding your bike and hanging out with your buddies and then recovering. And so I just thought that like our list seems kind of like to have a theme to it, you know? So, but listener, what do you think? Riders and listeners, what do you think about that list? And you know, how many of these things do you use? We're gonna do another pod, obviously talking in depth about more of them. But you know, are you creating routes? Are you looking at heat maps? You know, are you riding new places? How do you use Strava? How do you use Trail Forks? And what other things do you want us to talk about? Which of the items that we talked about? Trail Forks, bike computer, mountain bike YouTube, action camera, trainers, Shockwiz, wheel sensor, power meter? Which of these things do you want to hear about? If we get enough power meter, I'll tell you what, Sage. If everyone comes back and says, you know what, mountain bike power meters, then we'll do a separate pod. Yeah, yeah, we'll do a separate pod. It'll be you and a mirror, because I'm not going to be involved in that. You can just we'll have a recording of my voice that says, welcome back to the ride. Okay, and then you'll just go. You just go. Or I can interview, you know what, I'll interview you about power meters. I will interview you about power meters.
All right. It'll be a very short interview. Let me go full circle, because you said all those things and you said traveling. I'm going to go full circle here and I'm going to say all of those things. Well, maybe not the wheel sensor and that kind of stuff, but the things like Trail Forks and YouTube, for me, they build that community, which is what we were talking about with Strava. You know, that's the most important part for us, is the community.
Oh, I like that.
And
I like that.
Yeah. And all of the things that you mentioned,
you redeemed
aside the wheel sensor,
after the power meter.
Thank you. Thank you. All of those things that you mentioned, aside the wheel sensor and that stuff, but the Trail Forks, YouTube, the bike computer, all of those things help build a community in one way or another. You know,
that is such
and
a
I
good
love
point.
That.
That is so great. Yeah. Yeah.
Good night. I'll see you.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone settle in. We got a lot of power meter content to talk about. He totally redeemed himself. We're putting the power meter back in. Sage, tell us why you dislike that power meter so much. Let's get into it.
It's trapped in. Oh my gosh.
All right. Now that we know what you don't like, tell us what your mountain bike gratitude for the week, what you do like.
You know what, Danny? This week for me was really hard. I had a really, really, really tough week. And I don't want to get into the details. That's not important. But I
is
can't
power meter
tell
related?
You.
Yes or no? Just
it's
yes or
power
no?
Meter. Power meter. just wink if it's... blink with one eye. Blink with one eye.
We might have to name this episode power meter, not power meter related.
Not power meter related.
Because this is the most power mountain bike power meter content we're doing. And let us know unless you're interested. They're like, no, please stop talking about the power meters, Dan. Let Sage continue. All right, go ahead.
That's all right. I had, in addition to all the things that I'm going through, I broke my bike, which if you'd followed the pod for the last two episodes, that's been one of the themes going back to my broken bike. And I can't tell you, and you had mentioned this in your gratitude a couple pods back about the mountain bike community. And let me just tell you, the amount of people that have reached out to me on Strava, on Instagram, on email, through text messages saying, hey, here's a discount. Come to the shop, we'll give you a discount. Or here's a discount code that from our team. Or, hey, take my bike, borrow my bike. I'm not using it, please use my bike.
I know.
I can't tell you how
people
many people have reached out. And you know what, though? It's overwhelming. It's so amazing that many people care. And, I mean, full circle again, right? We're talking about community here, right? That doesn't happen without Strava and YouTube and all the things that you just mentioned. That doesn't happen for me, you know?
That's true.
And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, and I'll never be able to repay that. No, that's not true. I can. I can pay
you
that
forward. You
do. You
pay it forward all the time. I mean, that's why people... Yeah, that's why people have reached out to you. I mean, this isn't coming to like a random stranger. You know, you're a super nice guy. You've done a lot of really nice things. You have a big heart, and you've been incredibly generous with your time, and you're a full-time creator because you're doing something you love. And that's, you know, people feel that. They feel that level of authenticity, and anyone that's met you and ridden with you like knows how much you love this and how important it is to you. And so while I'm like blown away, I'm also not surprised when you tell me these stories. I'm not surprised, because you're just a really lovable dude. I mean, obviously I'm doing the podcast with you and you're my buddy, but you're a great guy. And so, you do deserve it. you do deserve it. And but it also shows just how many awesome and cool people are out there, and people that, you know, you didn't expect have been reaching out with offers that, you know, you didn't expect, and are just, it's a really nice, pleasant surprise. And I love the way that you did that, the way that you tied it in with the mountain bike community and the things that we were talking about today. So
yeah, I'm spent, dude. My brain power, like all this good stuff. This is it for me. I've peaked.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think there's more beautiful energy in there. I think we are unlimited. All of us, mm-hmm. listeners, yes. Sage, we are unlimited, and we can just take the top off and just become the best version of ourselves that we can imagine. And that includes riding, and that includes life. Is we can do whatever we want. Anything is possible. Just dream big and go for it. Follow your passion. If it feels good, if it feels right, then you're on the right path. If it doesn't, then take a breath, recalibrate, and just know, yeah, that's just like we're unlimited, and we can become awesome riders, and we can have awesome bikes, and we can go to awesome places, and we can have a ton of fun. That's what we're here for. Experience joy and love. So gratitude and thank you to everyone that reached out to Sage, or everyone that just gave him a nice comment, you know, or gave a recommendation on how to get the bike fixed, or, you know, everything. Or just even just a nice thought, you know. It's all good. It all comes from a good place. So that's really cool of everybody. My mountain bike gratitude of the week was going to be something that I thought we were going to have talked about during this podcast, and that is Trail Forks. And specifically the building of routes and being able to, it used to be that if we wanted to ride someplace that we had never been, we had to get a tour, or you get a map. You literally are getting a big giant map out, and we've done this before, and we've had the maps on the trails, and this, to anyone who's like under 25, this probably sounds absolutely crazy, but you would have a map out and you would like figure out how far you had ridden and where the turn was, and it was crazy, and it kind of sucked, for sure. It sucked.
Yeah.
And then Trail Forks came out and it got better and better and better. And now it's at a point where I can go onto Trail Forks and you can look at each trail that's on in an area that you're interested in. You can pick a trail and build a route around that. You can look at other people's routes. You can look at routes that are pre-made, and then you can upload those to your bike computer and you can just follow it. You don't have to be pulling out your phone every 2 minutes. You can just follow it. And it's such a game changer. It makes riding new places so possible and so much fun, and you don't need to get a tour. So if you're riding a random Tuesday morning at 9:30, you know, we just get out of the car, we upload the ride, and yeah, you got to stop here and there and you might miss a turn here and there, but for the most part, you can just go. And it is such a game changer to be able to just go out and ride new trails, new places, or even a place that you've only been once or twice, and now you got the route in there, and so you're not getting lost. It's awesome. So of all the apps, Trail Forks is my favorite. I think it's amazing. I do love the community in Strava. Trail Forks doesn't really have that same sort of thing, but being able to create those rides. Thank you, Trail Forks. Thank you, Universe, for creating such a cool thing and then integrating it into the bike computers. And now some of the bike computers actually have Trail Forks integrated into them. I'm a Wahoo guy, and I know the Garmins actually have Trail Forks on them. Like Styx has Trail Forks on it. So hopefully Wahoo gets that for my next bike computer, or maybe I'll have to switch to Garmin. I don't know, but it's really cool. So my mountain bike gratitude, thank you, Trail Forks, and thank you everyone that contributes to Trail Forks. As always, we appreciate everyone listening. Listening.
Whoa.
Oh, tip of the week.
Yeah,
well, we've been talking for a day and a half. I'm sorry.
What am I, chopped liver here? Jeez. Holy moly. Gosh.
Here's the tip of the week. Don't let your podcast partner just ramble on and end the pod before you've done your tip of the week. That's the tip of the week.
if you have a riding mower, no.
If you don't have a power meter, if you don't have a power meter on your riding mower yet, let me tell you something. Oh, this power meter.
Oh gosh. Tip of the week. I'm going to go back to what I started the pod with, was the place that we rode today, the West End Regional Park. This place had no berms. The whole thing was flat turns. And my gosh, I'm watching Dan work. And this guy has got the turns down. And we were talking a lot. And one of the tips that I wanted to go with is the flat turn. And if you are someone that struggles with flat turns, the biggest piece of advice that I can give you is drop the outside foot and keep your body upright. So the difference between a flat turn and a berm. In a berm, you're going to lean with the bike in the turn. It's going to make sense. It's going to feel right. You're going to be in the berm. You're going to lean with the bike. When you are on a flat turn, that doesn't work. And the reason why that doesn't work is because if you lean with the bike, all your momentum is going in the direction of the turn. And so what ends up happening is both your wheels or one of your wheels will slip out. So on a flat turn, lean the bike, but you stay upright. I'm doing hand motions like people can see me through the radio. But if you watch the video, I will try and include a video radio here.
When I said the radio, yeah, right?
I guess it's the radio. I mean, yeah. Podcast player. I mean, people are listening on their phone, you know, but maybe the radio. Yeah.
We're going to be on the radio. Listen, we're going to get picked up.
Ride and Laugh 8-track cassettes are coming soon, so keep an eye out for those at your local Radio Shack. Radio Shack. If you're listening to this on a 45, go ahead and flip it over for the second half of the show.
Oh my Lord. Anyway, but yes, so if you are in a flat turn, get yourself upright. Keep the bike leaned, but you stay upright. I'll try and include a video in here if you're watching it on the YouTube.
Fantastic tip. Yeah, when you're on a berm, you're essential. If it just makes sense when you're on a berm that you're going to keep driving through the tires. But the flat turn and that bike body separation, that is a really – that there's an element of trust in there. And you definitely need to practice it. But when you start getting that, that's really cool. And that bike body separation goes together in so many different things. And when it becomes instinctive, it really starts to feel good. So that's a great tip. RideAndLaugh1@gmail.com or in the comments, flat turns versus berms. And if you have any questions or if you want a video on that, or if you want us to talk about that more, I think we're going to do a cornering pod at some point. I mean, cornering is so important.
Yes, for sure.
And when you get good at it, it's so much fun. So, all right, am I safe to close it out? Did I miss a segment?
You may close it out. Yes, you may close it out.
If you're still listening. Okay. All right, if you're still listening, you're definitely one of us. Not only a mountain biker, but you're a ride and laugh dude or dudette at this point, because we're goofing around a ton, and we appreciate you. Rate and subscribe on your podcast player, rate and subscribe on the YouTube, RideAndLaugh1@gmail.com for comments, or comment on the YouTube channel, which helps the algorithm. Tell your friends, set us to auto download, get more people listening. We appreciate you. We're having a great time recording. We really appreciate everyone listening. Thank you so much. And go ride your bike, ride and laugh. Have a great week.
I'll see everyone.